Minister United workshop that we've had. Most of you guys are like, man. Go over here. This is the 9th one. It's the first one we've had in Tulsa. I became a Christian back in 2004, and a lot of you know the story. I'm not going to tell the whole thing. Basically, I was a drug addict who was coerced into going down to Tampa, Florida to get exposed to a campus ministry, and there was a group there that knew that I was coming, that knew that I was going no place good, that knew that I was in great need. And before I even arrived, they had been praying for me and planning to just love on me. And so I showed up down in Tampa, Florida, and that is exactly what those people did. Len Stringfellow was the campus minister there, along with Carol, and they took me in, and within a few weeks, I saw something completely different in life that I had just never experienced before, especially with people my own age. And all that was a group of college students being the church. And I didn't say being perfect, because they weren't.
Amen.
I didn't even say being cool, because they sure weren't. But they were being the church, and they were loving on me, and they were loving on others. I saw them reaching out to their friends that didn't know Jesus. I saw them with a passion hitting the campus over at USF and just being real bold in their faith. And I saw them studying the Bible with people, and I saw them baptizing people, and I saw something that made me sort of start to get church. I grew up in a religious home, and I tell you, my parents, they did an okay job raising me, but some things happened that caused my life to go off track. And to be honest, up until that point in my life, I didn't get the whole church thing. I thought it was you show up on Sundays, you get told some rules, and then you go out and don't have any fun and come back and do it the next week. That's what I thought it was all about. But seeing a group of people living out their faith, taking the Bible seriously, imperfectly trying to put into practice this stuff that they were learning about God and Jesus, inspired me in a way nothing else in my life up to that point had. So I went back home after that trip to Tampa. Three or four week trip. Went back home. I sat down with my dad. I said, hey, could you open this Bible up with me? And I think I'm ready to really look at this. He studied the Bible with me. And on Father's Day, 2004, I got baptized into Christ at the Downtown Church of Christ in Searcy, Arkansas. And I waited until Sunday to do it because I got up in front of that church and I said, hey, I'm doing this in front of all you guys, and I didn't go do it when nobody was in the church building. I'm doing it in front of all you guys because I want you guys to hold me accountable to this stuff. I want you to see this because I'm serious about this, and I want you all to know if you see me out of town gallivanting, doing the same things I used to do, I want you to call me out because I'm serious about this, and I was. And I've been so inspired by that campus ministry down in Florida that I didn't want to stay in Searcy, Arkansas. Not just because it was Searcy, Arkansas, but for other reasons. I wanted to move back down to Tampa. And so I let my dad know, I feel like God is calling me into ministry. And I can think of no place better to go learn at this point in my life than down there with that group that impacted me like they did. And so within a month, with some people who were willing to encourage me, they said, we'll commit to you financially. We'll support you if you want to go down and train with this church. And so within a month, I had raised enough money to go down to Tampa, Florida, basically to live and just put my whole self into this thing we call campus ministry. And so in August, I think it was maybe a week or two after school had started at USF, I moved down there. There was a couple, Keith and Kelly Stefanko at the Bay Area Church of Christ, who were very gracious to open their home to me and let me live with them rent-free for a while, which they should have charged me rent in retrospect because I threw a lot of my money. So that's why I charged Devin rent to live with me. You're welcome. Teaching me a discipline, son. There's a lot of other funny stuff. I burned down his fence one time because I was smoking in the backyard. And I wasn't supposed to be, and I tried to hide it. Anyway, a lot of fun stuff happened here at that time. But they opened their home up to me, and so every day I was getting up and I was going to the office with Lynn. And that was such a special year. I think maybe the second or third week I was there, I went to a Bible study. And before I moved down to Florida, I told you my dad had studied the Bible with me and kind of walked me through this Bible study. He gave me this thing, this outline. And the day before I went to Florida, he said, "I'm going to give you something, and I want you to know this is the most powerful thing in the universe." And we were sitting at our kitchen table, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, "Well, open it up and read it." And it was this Bible study that he had written a long time ago. It was basically like the Romans Road. If any of you guys know what that is, it's just an evangelistic Bible study. He said, "When you get down to Florida, I want you to take us down there, and I want you to go find somebody and sit down and study with them." And my second or third week after arriving in Florida, I went to this Bible study, and there was this kid there. It was a Sunday night. There were like 50 or 60 of the kids from the campus ministry all sitting around, just basically telling their stories. Here's where I used to be. Here's where I am now. Like, here's what God has done. Like, there was this one kid sitting there, and he was real quiet. He had just arrived in town. And he was sitting against the back wall, and at the very end of our Bible study, he spoke up, and he's like, "Guys, I just want you to know that you've all impacted me tonight. Because I moved down here, I've been struggling with alcoholism, I live, in another state, and was getting into a lot of trouble, and I actually moved here to stay with my uncle for a while, because I really want to change some things in my life, and I just want you guys to know that you have impacted me with your sharing tonight." So I waited until the Bible study was over, and I was like, "Oh man, I need to go talk to that guy, because I'm kind of him." Like, just a few weeks ago, I was still dripping like from my own baptism, and so I ran over and I met this kid, and his name was Brent Kochman. It was Randy Kochman's nephew, and I was like, "Hey man, I appreciate you talking. Would you like to sit down and have a Bible study with me? Because got something that I can share with you, and I just kind of, you want to do it?" He's like, "Sure." And so I grabbed Josh Wilson right back there, and we went back in the back room of Kimmy's apartment. And we sat down in the back room of this apartment, and I remember opening this Bible up, and I pulled this piece of paper up. My hand was shaking. I was so nervous. And I unfolded it, and I was like, "Wait a second, I have no idea what I'm doing." Like, I've only looked at this thing like twice, And we started walking through this Bible study with this kid. And it was awful. I'm just telling you, it was terrible. I was a professional speaker before I became a Christian, and I know, I'm reading this, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm so blowing this. He knows I'm reading. I don't even know this well enough just to speak extemporaneously. This is what really holy thoughts going through my head." And we get down to the bottom of the study. We go all the way through it. And at the end of it, he's like, "I think I want to go to the church and get baptized." And I was like, "Really?" I was so surprised. And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." And so we go down to the church. Our whole college ministry goes down to the church. And we baptize this guy into Christ that night.
Amen.
And I was like, "Wow, that was pretty easy." And so the rest of that semester, I just got in the habit of, when I would see somebody come into the campus ministry that I didn't know, I want to go meet that person, because that person may not be a Christian, and I can share this stuff with them, and maybe they'll change their life, Because I found that I blew it in that study, but the power is not so much in the messenger, the imperfect messenger, as it is in the message when it comes to sharing the gospel. And I don't mean to say that we're not examples, because we certainly are. But I don't think anybody in here would hold up their hand and say, I'm perfect. I know I wouldn't. But that fired me up. And I think that year we had 24 baptisms in our campus ministry. And there were a number of those that I had the privilege of going and sitting down and studying with. And even when Lynn was studying with somebody, he would have me tag along. And he would have me baptized, physically baptized, even if he was the one studying. And I was so fired up by that. And then Lynn started telling me about the state of campus ministry in the United States. Because remember, I would go to the office with him every day. And everybody who knows Lynn, he's kind of a salty character. Like, he just kind of tells it how it is. He is not politically correct. Like, he says dumb things sometimes, like, that he shouldn't say. He's not here, so I can talk trash.
I'm right here.
Oh, there's Carol. So you know. But he's like, Wes, what you're getting isn't normal. It's not normal. He said, if you go to a campus ministry, there's not very many campus ministries in Churches of Christ. But if you go to another campus ministry, or if you visited another campus ministry when you weren't a Christian, they probably wouldn't have reached out to you. They probably wouldn't have tried to study the Bible with you. They probably would have just kind of wished you went away because you smelled like cigarettes and you were a jerk. But we're not like that here. We're different. And to be honest with you, I don't know very many others, or if there are any others, that are like us. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, really. Isn't that sad? I was like, yeah. What if you guys, what if y'all didn't care about lost people? Like, would I even be here? Or would I still be living my old lifestyle? Would I still be, like, dead on the inside? Probably. That stuck with me. I decided that after being in Tampa for a year, the prodding of my dad and some others, at the prodding of my dad and some others, I should say, I decided that I wanted to get a degree in Bible. And so I went to Harding University. I decided to go to Harding University. And so that the wheels were kind of starting to move toward that. In August of 2005, I was supposed to move. I had actually started dating Ariel while we were at Alive in Tampa. We decided that we would get married. She said yes. So that's the main reason. And so we got married in May, and then we were going to move to Arkansas in August. We heard about something called the National Campus Ministry Seminar. I heard about it. Lynn already knew about it. But they were going to be holding a seminar in Norman, Oklahoma, around the same time that I needed to move. And so we decided, kind of as a last hurrah, Lynn and I, along with a guy named Aurelio Henlon, who was a co-campus minister in the Bay Area, that we would travel up to the campus ministry seminar in Norman, Oklahoma. That's where it was this year, that year. And we would spend that time together, and then we would head back to Arkansas, and they would drop me off. Oh, and I forgot to mention, this is kind of important. We had also attended something before that in March of that year called the Tulsa Workshop. How many of you guys know what the Tulsa Workshop is? Okay, several of you do, some of you don't. The Tulsa Workshop is a church conference that's held annually right here in Tulsa, up the road at the Convention Center. It's been going on since the late 70s, I believe. Is that right? Anybody? The guy who came and preached this morning, did you say 66?
76.
76, okay. I thought it was late 70s. The guy who came and preached this morning, Marvin Phillips, is actually the guy who started that. And honestly, that has been an instrument and a tool of revival in our fellowship of churches for a long time. It's been a very powerful conference that has blessed a lot of people. We went to that in March. And this was shortly after I had learned that, you know, there aren't very many evangelistic campus ministries in Churches of Christ. I went with Lynn and some others to the Tulsa Workshop in March, and that was in 2005, and they actually had a class about campus ministry on the program. And I'll just be honest with you, we looked at the schedule before we went to Tulsa, and we were like, wow, I bet that's going to suck. Just being honest, because a lot of times they do. But there was this guy named Kerry Cox that was going to be speaking. And so we walk in, we didn't know who these guys were. But we walk in, I sit down, and I don't even think Lynn attended. You know how Lynn is. He's like, I ain't even going to go. Like, I ain't ever even heard of that guy. I go to this class, and I sit, and this was right after the Crossings was planted. And so, TC, I think, was there. He had just gotten baptized a couple weeks before, maybe. There were others that were there, that I still see at the Crossings that were brand new Christians. Some of them were plant team members. Others were great. And I went to sit and listened to that class. And Kerry was up there with this little striped button-up shirt on, and he had his hair kind of doing this. He was up there, but I saw past all that because he was talking about reaching the lost. And I was so fired up because not only was he talking about reaching the lost, he was pointing people out and saying, we reached that one, and that, and here's their story, and you wouldn't believe what she had been doing. I think he told the story about Maria, all this crazy stuff. Wow, that sounds like what we were doing in Tampa. I thought nobody else was doing this. And so we got done with that class, and I was like, I got to tell Lynn. And so I'm running and looking for Lynn, and I'm like, hey, dude, I found it. I'm like, you're going to believe this. There's another guy that's doing what we're doing down in Tampa. We didn't know there were any more. And so that's where our relationship started, okay? We went and we met Kerry, and then we met Robert, and we met their families, and we met everybody else. And we were like, dude, we were totally on the same page with this. Because we thought we were off by ourselves, and we're not. We're not. And so that's actually where we became friends, was at the Tulsa workshop. Okay, fast forward. Back to Norman, Oklahoma, National Campus Ministry Seminar. We go to the National Campus Ministry Seminar. Guess who's on the program? Kerry and Robert Cox, and Hannah was speaking too. I remember walking in that first day, and there was this one really tall guy with frosty-tipped, shaggy, weird-looking hair. And he was wearing a shirt that said, I used to be gay, what were you? And I was like, that's weird. And then there was another guy wearing the same shirt, and they were together. It was Dustin Levins and John Copeland. And then we found out they were in their ministry. It was so cool. I'm reminiscing here. Anyway. Norman, Oklahoma, okay? The first night we're there, there's this big banner hanging up. Hit that slide. My first slide for me. At that campus ministry conference, they had this banner hanging up on the wall. This was printed out. It was next to the stage. You guys may not be able to see it, but basically what this is, it's a very, very incomplete map of the state of campus ministry in Church of Christ. And this was from, back in 2005. But these little black dots represent campus ministries. Or they did back then. These orange dots, I don't know if you can tell that these are orange from back there, they represent universities that have an enrollment of 10,000 or more that don't have a campus ministry presence, at least from the restoration movement. Some of them don't have really any kind of campus ministry presence. And they had this banner hanging up, and these little triangles represent churches that have a college class on Sundays. They don't have a campus ministry. They just maybe have a few college students that attend, maybe they have a Bible class for them. But the point was, there's not hardly any campus ministries in the United States for Churches of Christ. That was the big idea at the National Campus Ministry Seminar. And they said, even on the first day, they're like, we don't even know what to do about this. We hope somebody will come along that will do something about this. We hope somebody will be inspired to do something about this. And it planted a seed in me where I was like, why aren't you doing something about this? Why isn't there somebody doing something about this? There should be somebody doing something about this. And it kind of got me a little fired up. You want to know why? Because I started thinking about all of my friends that were Christians. I started thinking, what if our ministry hadn't been there in Tampa, Florida? What if there hadn't been anybody reaching out to folks in Greater Alton or in Wentzville or St. Charles? What if they hadn't been there at all? How many people would be dead? How many marriages would be broken? How many little kids are going to get abused? How many are going to let the darkness win because there's nobody there? There's nobody even there. And these guys are saying, we don't know what to do about this. We hope somebody comes. Let's do something about it. That's what I was thinking. There was this guy preaching at that conference named Rick Ashley. Powerful preacher. One of the best preachers. Just a great preacher. And he got up at one point at that seminar and he talked about God-sized goals. And he said, some of you need to set some God-sized goals. And what a God-sized goal is it's a goal that is so big, it is so huge, that it will never be accomplished unless God is involved. And some of you aren't dreaming big enough. And you need to have big dreams, because God likes big dreams. And you need to have big visions where people come along and say, it can't be done, because God is the God of the little guy, and He likes proving everybody else wrong.
Amen.
God-sized goal. And so all these things were mixing together and mingling in these emotions and the Spirit of God inside me. And on the way home, I talked with Lynn Stringfellow and Aurelio Headline, and I said, I can't get this out of my mind. And I remember going up to Robert before that conference was over and just like accosting him. He's like, dude, I want to move to Missouri. I will raise my own money and I will come up there and I will kick butt in the name of Jesus for you. He was like, I don't know about you. I don't know. It's funny because it happened later. Not the kicking butt part, but the moving to Missouri part. We're working on the kicking butt part, we'll see. But I talked to Lynn on the way home to Arkansas. And he was going to drop me off and head back to Florida, and I was going to go do my thing at Harding. And I was like, we got to do something about this. This is ridiculous. Like, what if we hadn't had our ministry? How many people are we missing? And so I got home and I got on the internet and I started doing some research, and what I found was this map. I said it was incomplete. If this map were complete, you wouldn't see any black dots because they would be covered up in the orange ones, because that's how many campuses there are out there that don't have campus ministries on them. There are 4,000, over 4,000 in the United States alone that don't have campus ministries on them. Now, popular thought back in 05 was that Churches of Christ have around 200 campus ministries. That's a bump. We got maybe, I would estimate, probably about 75 nowadays. Maybe 75 campus ministries. You want to know how many of those are reaching people? A handful. Lynn thought way back when there was nobody else doing it. The reason he thought is because they're rare. There are some that are actually reaching people, but they're rare. And I'm not saying that to dog anybody. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And we can put lipstick on a pig and make ourselves feel good. We ain't making an eternal difference if we ain't reaching nobody. If we're teaching our church kids, you just kind of show up and we'll disciple you. Disciples go out and make disciples. Okay? Get off the soapbox. So I got to Harding and I met this little guy named Marvin Croson. He's not here this weekend. He's on our board. But he's been a huge advocate for what we're doing here. He's actually out of the country right now. That's why he's not here. Otherwise, he would be. He's down in South America telling people about Jesus. Marvin Croson is the domestic missionary in residence for Harding University. I went and shared all this emotion with him, and I was like, hey, really want to do something. I got my good friend Lynn. He's wanting to do something. Don't know exactly what to do, but I sat down, I did all this research. I found this problem is way bigger than we even thought to begin with. Like, we are missing, we're dropping the ball, we're missing opportunities. What can we do about this? And I came up with this plan. And I said, I want to start a new organization that, you can put that next slide up. I want to start a new organization that's focused on training new campus ministers, because we don't have hardly any ministers right now, and we can't have new ones unless we have new ministers. I want to sponsor new campus ministry plants, because we've got to start somewhere. We've got to get on this. And I want to provide enrichment materials for existing campus ministries, because most of them aren't reaching anybody. Most of them just aren't. And I want to help them overcome that problem, because it's a huge, huge problem. And so that's where the idea for this organization, Campus Ministry United, came from. The name came, we want to get everybody's heads together. We want everybody working on this. We don't just want this to be about one or two people. We want to get as many people who are passionate about this as possible together. That's where the name Campus Ministry United came from. Because this problem is too big to be solved by one or two people. We're all going to have to come together and work on this together. So we organized the first conference. We thought if we're going to get everybody together, if we're going to talk about this and get people fired up about this, it would be a good idea to have an annual event that people can come to where we can discuss this stuff and get some things going on this. And so the first thing I did was I got on the phone and I began contacting different people to serve as a board. And I think on that original board, we had Carrie and Robert Cox. We had myself, Lynn Stringfellow, a campus minister named Tim Allison over in Conway, a gentleman named Matt Carter, who at the time was the president of Campus Crosswalk, which sponsored the National Campus Ministry Seminar. I gave a couple other people calls who were not able to serve. And I can't remember, was it Donnie? Where's Donnie?
Yeah, Donnie.
Was Donnie on there that year? I couldn't remember if he was there or added later. And if I'm missing anybody, I apologize. But we formed a board, and then we said we're going to have this event in July. We're going to schedule it this time because we don't want to interfere with the other guys. And so we had, if you want to throw that picture up, a huge crowd, humongous crowd, at our first campus ministry workshop in 2006. We had about 40 people that showed up. And I'll tell you, we were so excited because we didn't know if anybody was going to show. We didn't know if anybody cared. And so we met at Harding University. Then again, Marvin Croson funded this first workshop. He secured the space for us and said we could use facilities over at Harding. And so we got together and did that. We also had an awesome website. If you want to hit that next slide. This is sweet. Yeah. That's actually the most set. Yeah, I think it was after the workshop ended when I took that screenshot. Then we decided we got to market better, and so in the future, we actually had a logo professionally designed. Can we hit that next slide? Those were the dark years. But I spoke at that first conference. We stole it from Walmart, yeah. I used to steal from Walmart before I was a Christian. I used to steal from Walmart. I got all my video games.
Come to Jesus.
This is Jason's smiling face.
Oh, gosh.
I'm gonna think of you every time I go. I spoke at that first conference, and you know, I got up with those guys, and I said, you know, I'm really glad you're here. We've come up with this plan. It may change as we move forward. We don't really know. We're kind of learning. We want to get everybody's heads together, and the basic plan that we've come up with in 2006 is we want to form ministry teams made up of individuals from ministries and churches that are on fire to reach the lost. We want to make sure they get some kind of training, and then we want to pick a location where the need is great. And we want to partner with a church that's nearby that school, and we want to send people to work within that church to plant a new ministry. Because we've got to do something. There's too many lost opportunities out there. And so we kind of cast that vision, and people got excited. I went back to Tampa and spoke about it there to my peers and other people in the campus ministry. People got excited about that. And we set a goal. If you want to hit the next one, we said at that first conference, we want to start 10 campus ministries by 2016. 10 ministries by 2016. So what happened after that? You can go to the next one. Well, that year, immediately, Orlando and the Marina Hemline got hired by the Sunset Church of Christ out in Miami, Florida, to start a new campus ministry. Orlando and Debrina were both baptized through the ministry in Tampa. That was our first campus ministry plan. The next one was Kyle Swan. He was a kid who was baptized through the ministry in Tampa. He moved up to Manhattan, New York. He came to our first workshop. He got fired up. He went up to New York. He started a ministry where he was. I don't think he ever intended to be a Campus Ministry United planter, but we were like, you're doing it, we're taking it. So we put his name on the list. There's one. Then we had Corpus Christi, Texas. Yeah, your last name.
Both Clinton.
And I put both their names on here because this was weird how this one went. Lynn had gone and Adam Farnsworth had moved up to Harding and had been going taking classes at Harding. And where's Adam at? Okay. And the plan was for a while, when Adam graduates from college, we're going to have him move somewhere and start a new ministry. And so Lynn went out of his way to get Adam connected to this church in Corpus Christi that Lynn had some relationship with, and got all of the running done for Adam to get this job. And then, like, right before Adam graduated, Clint Hill and Kelsey Hill came from, I don't know where, and stole Adam's job. And so we were like, dang it. And Clint tells the story, like, the first time he showed up at a campus, where's Clint?
Back here.
He showed up at a Campus Ministry United workshop. I do not remember this at all. But he said that I walked up to him at IHOP and sat down in front of him and said, what's your deal, man? I don't remember that at all. But anyway, he got the job, and you know what? It was a God thing. It worked out. They baptized people. It was awesome. And then, what?
Why are you still here?
Oh, and Peyton Copeland, I put his name up there too because later he was going to take that ministry over, so I just put that up here. So, you know, that's who's there now. And Blake Kimmis had the reins over there for a while. In 2009, my wife and I had the opportunity to move out to San Francisco, California. And we were invited by a congregation out there to come start a campus ministry on the West Coast that they had a church building right beside a very large university, a major university, San Francisco State University. About 30,000 students enrolled over there, and they were like, we don't know what we're doing. We need somebody to come here and help us. And so we moved to San Francisco, and actually the end of 08, started the ministry in 09. And then we moved after 3.5 years, and a guy named Nathaniel Tulao took it off. He's actually in Guatemala right now, otherwise he would hopefully be here. Then we had, after that, Tallahassee, Florida. Adam got his job stolen in Texas, so he ended up getting one in Tallahassee. Was worth much better. I put an asterisk beside that one because that wasn't a brand new ministry. That was an existing campus ministry that Adam went into and has helped them kind of revitalize and change some things. So that's how that worked out. And then the next one, I believe, was Tulsa. Now, this is when Lynn and Carol Stringfellow moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma, or from Tampa, Florida, excuse me, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is actually when they took over full-time position, full-time work with Campus Ministry United. So if you guys don't know that, that's actually Lynn and Carol's job. They work full-time for Campus Ministry United. They do seminars, they do networking, they do a lot of things throughout the year to work on that. And then Clint and Kelsey ended up moving here. How long ago? 2 years ago? And so technically, you guys are the campus ministers, and Lynn and Carol are kind of support, but they primarily work with Campus Ministry United and kill bugs. then we got, I believe, Springfield next. Jeff Keeley and Catherine Krause moved to Springfield, Missouri in 2013 to start CIA Springfield. And then we've got, after that, Claremore, Oklahoma. This is where Kyle moved up. By the way, pretty much everybody on this list came from one campus ministry, except for the Hills. Everybody on this list came from Tampa, Florida. They were baptized and taught in Tampa, Florida. And so that vision to plant campus, just to show you kind of the power of one ministry, this is one ministry. People from one ministry that had done all this stuff. Holly wasn't from Tampa either. She's from Corpus, and Kyle stole her. She's here now.
Hey, Claire.
Hey, Claire. Got the blues.
Claire? Who?
We stole Claire.
Claire.
There's two.
I'm sorry, I left Claire off the list. That's it's because I don't like black people. I'm just kidding!
He's
I'm
married kidding. To a guy!
I'm awesome! This fall, and we're really excited about this, at our forum last night, we prayed over these guys. TC and Marie Brown, I am sorry, Jess Williams should be up here too, are starting a campus ministry in St. Louis, Missouri. And then after that, is there one more? Yeah. Josh and Kelly Wilson are starting a ministry in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And so these are ministries that are going to launch in the fall. And so we're really excited about that. Anybody count these?
10!
It's 2014. It's 2014. Now technically we just got 8. Because two of these were brand new ministries. But we've got 10 campus ministries under the banner of CMU. That have been started in the past, 9 years. And so that's pretty cool. You know, I didn't even realize this until I sat down and like started putting pen to paper. And I really am sorry, Jess. I really am. All right, cool. Until I started putting pen to paper, like, I was just like, wow. How cool is this? Look at what God has done. Like, look at all these people that are interested and like serious about this. And it's really pretty cool. It's really pretty cool. But I don't want to dwell on the past a whole lot. Because in addition to some things we've done, to be honest with you, we've really blown it in some areas. And as much as we've been successful in the past 9 years with some things, we've also learned a whole lot. And I think we've matured a whole lot. And I'm talking about the individuals involved with Campus Ministry United. So what we've learned in the last 9 years We have been reaffirmed on some things. The biggest reaffirmation for me has been that campus ministry is where it's at. Campus ministry is where it's at. You guys can clap. As far as the evangelistic engine of any congregation, campus ministry is where it's at. Our church plant team that's going out in 4 weeks, there are a little over 30 people on that team, and I would say that nearly all of them, I mean, with the exception of maybe two or three, were primarily won through the campus ministry. And 5 years ago, they weren't even Christians. Some of them 2 years ago weren't even Christians. And they have been worked with and had issues, and I'm not saying they don't have issues still, because they do, I know them. But they've been worked on, and they're helped, been helped to mature to the point where now they're going to lead a church plant. Not just a campus ministry plant, they're going to lead a church plant. But that happened because we've got an effective campus ministry. I look at these plants that have been done. All of these people, just about every single one of them that went out and planted with the congregation somewhere and said, we want to do this, we want to get this done, they were won through campus ministry. Some have said that they believe around 80% of the conversions that occur in the United States happen among the young. Barna, George Barna, actually did a study a while back. It was 79% of the people who make a decision to follow Jesus in the United States do it before the age of 21. Most of our churches, frankly, put their resources and their time and their efforts and their energies into reaching segments of the population that are statistically the least open to evangelism. Very few put their time and efforts and resources and energies into reaching college students. But I'm here to tell you, if we can get people to get this and catch this vision and understand, this is where you put your energy.
That's right.
It's going to change the face of eternity for millions. You want to plant churches? You want your church to be a congregation that's planting churches in the future? You need to start working immediately on getting your campus ministry and your youth ministry at a point where they're going to go out and teach the gospel to lost kids. And not just baptize them and forget about them, but baptize them and help them to work on their insecurities, help them to work through their wounds and their abuses, help them to become mature so that they can turn around and say, man, that's where I used to be. I dealt with the same crap. I got beat by my dad, my mom. I got abused. I got whatever. I've been there. Let me tell you how to come out of that darkness. And so they turn around and they become the hands and the feet of Jesus. And we see these other communities planting and moving. And, we will reaffirm campus ministry is where it's at. Very, very fruitful. Secondly, adequate training is vital. Adequate training is vital. We suspected that going in. We found out through a series of biannual studies that we did with Campus Ministry United. When I told you earlier, most campus ministries aren't reaching anybody. I know that because I, along with Flavel Yakeley and others, have studied just about all the Church of Christ campus ministries, the majority of them, and we have found that that is true. Most are not reaching anybody. The ones that are reaching kids are ones that are led by campus ministers or couples who are trained within effective ministries that are reaching people. So if you want to learn how to lead a ministry that's reaching people, you don't do it by reading books. You don't do it by going and getting a Bible degree. You do it by going and being a part of a campus ministry that is reaching people where you can see firsthand. And I don't mean, you know, for just a couple weeks. That's better than nothing. But if you can go and be a part of a ministry for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, soak it in, figure out how this works. In our studies, those were the ones who were running ministries that were reaching people. We saw the opposite. A lot of campus ministries have internships, a lot of the ones that aren't reaching anybody, and they attempted to start new ministries in other places that were going to reach people. Do you know what happened? They didn't. Because we reproduce what we are. You don't reproduce what you want to be. so if you want to be somebody that reaches people, you need to be part of a ministry that's reaching people. The third affirmation, the last affirmation, is that growing the church and blessing the world through the planting of new campus ministries is something that not only can be done, we at CMU believe it's the way forward for the church at large. I'm excited about the future because I don't believe we've even scratched the surface of what God is going to do with this group of people. I don't believe we, I think we are just getting started. We are just starting to walk. And I believe God's going to do something with us. And it's bigger than any of us can imagine. I believe that. And I believe it's going to be fueled by love for God and love for one another and love for the lost. I believe that. So we've had some successes, but we've also made some mistakes. And I'm going to be just real honest with you about this, okay? We've made two that are huge. And the first one, this is on a slide, Brian. Big mistake number one, okay? And I should probably reword this, but I put on a slide here, we weren't selective enough regarding partner churches. Let me clarify that. I think the big mistake we made on the beginning, I told you guys earlier when I gave that speech back in 06, I shared our plan. I said we want to form plant teams. We want to get them trained, and then we want to find churches that are nearby universities and send our people to go work with those churches. Our big mistake was having that as our primary strategy. And let me tell you why. The average church is about like the average campus ministry. Most churches, unfortunately, are not at their core evangelistic. Most of them, and there are exceptions, I don't mean to cast a wide net that encompasses everyone, because there are certainly exceptions, but most are not at their core evangelistic. Most are not at their core centered around disciple making. When you catch a fish, you gotta clean it. And if discipleship and disciple making and helping new baby Christians mature is not part of the culture of a church, it's very hard for some new guy or some new group to come in who doesn't have the trust built with elders, established members, or other leaders. It's hard for them to come in and make the changes that need to be made as kind of outsiders to make it work. And I'm not saying that it can't work. Honestly, our church in Tampa, I didn't know because I was spiritually young and immature and just didn't have a framework of reference or anything to understand the dynamics of what happens within churches and congregations. Our church in Tampa, looking back, was really unhealthy because the campus ministry was like its own thing. It was like a one-eared Mickey Mouse. Like, imagine Mickey Mouse, and you got one big ear. Hey, this one big ear is the campus ministry, and there's the head. And the head is the rest of the church. We were the ear. The church was the head. There was a little bit of connection, a little bit of connection, but it wasn't holistic. That's not a good way to do campus ministry. You know, my experience at the Crossings has been completely different. They were talking earlier about going and, you know, the camps that you guys have been serving at, and going and working with the elementary school kids and the junior high kids and dreaming for these kids. Like, man, one of these days, you know, you guys are over here killing frogs with a stick. One of these days, you're going to be awesome church planters. And so you take that passion and unleash it on that frog and keep it for Jesus' sake. But they're dreaming for these kids. And our mission's aligned, and our mission is the same. You guys at the Crossings is all you've known. You have no idea what it's like for other people, honestly. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because you're having the experience you're having, That's all we need to reproduce, honestly. Not that we're perfect, but in truth, you have no idea what other people go through sometimes. And having that as our strategy was a big move. Just to be straight up and honest. And I know there are some that are here that are, have planted these, and you're like, man, we're at one of those churches. I know. And I'm not trying to dog that. Let's make it work as best we can. All I'm trying to say is we're not going to do it that way in the future. And I just want to be honest about that. We're not going to do it that way anymore. And we'll talk about what we are going to do here in a second. The second big mistake, I said there's two of these. The second big mistake was the geographic isolation of some ministries. And, you know, like Kyle Swan went up to New York, Manhattan, New York. We really didn't have a whole lot of contact with him. I moved out to San Francisco, California. My wife and I felt so alone out there. Like, we were with a really unhealthy church. In a really crazy part of the country, and we were just isolated. Like, we didn't have anybody else for most of the time we were there. And you guys know what a blessing, like, retreats are and stuff like this that everybody comes to and the relationships. And you know what a blessing that stuff is. We don't have that if we're geographically isolated. And the truth is, we got so excited that in our excitement, we did not make wise decisions regarding where people should go. And we can't do that anymore. We just can't do that anymore. So where are we going to go? A couple of strategic shifts that we're going to make. We got four of these, okay? And then we're going to wrap it up. But I want you guys to know, based on what we've learned in the past 9 years, and I'm speaking on behalf of the board tonight. We all got together at our leadership retreat last year. We hashed a lot of stuff out. We had fights. We did all kinds of fun stuff. We met together yesterday at the board meeting, and I told him, okay, here's what I remember us talking about. Here's what I'm going to say. Am I speaking on behalf of you guys? They're all like, yes. Okay. So I'm going to allow some time at the end if anybody needs to speak up and say something on the board to clarify what I'm saying. We're going to do that. But the strategic shift, the first one, is now we are going to primarily focus on independent campus church plants. As an organization, as Campus Ministry United, we are no longer going to make it our primary strategy to partner with existing churches. I already mentioned that you know, in most cases, campus ministries are an appendage of the existing church. That's the main reason why. Also, we want to create a culture of discipleship and evangelism that is in the DNA bones of that church. Because it needs to be in the bones of the campus ministry. If it's going to be healthy, it needs to be in the bones of the church too. And the way forward, we just need to start our own churches. Okay? We need to start our own churches. How? Well, I'm glad you asked. We need people that feel like God is calling them to this. We need people that are committed to becoming the people that God created them to be. We need individuals who are willing to get over their own junk with the help of others so that they can make up the core of these campus ministries, these churches, these plants. The second strategic shift is regional movement out from strategic epicenters. Let me explain that. We don't want anybody to be isolated. And we have found, and research has borne out, actually, there was a big, huge study that was done on church planting a few years ago by a guy named Warren Edstetzer and Warren Bird. And it was published in a book called Viral Churches. It was the most comprehensive study of church planting that has ever been conducted in the United States. They looked at over 200 PhD dissertations, I don't know how many books, But they basically compiled all of this data that, that they accumulated over the years and studied into this book. And you want to know what their conclusion was regarding the best, most effective way to move forward to reach lost people in our country in the future? They said it is for local churches, local congregations, to own the mission of planting new churches in their geographic region. Does that sound familiar to anybody at the Crossings? Because that has been the vision of the Crossings Church from the beginning. We want to saturate the St. Louis metro area with gospel-loving, Jesus-centered churches. And once we get that one done, we want to find another metro area to move and do it again. That's been the vision from the beginning. There's a lot of reasons for that. We can talk shop all night. I'm not going to do that. We're going to have an epicenter in St. Louis, Missouri for Campus Ministry United. Our second epicenter, we're just going to have two to begin with, is going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those of you in Tulsa know that last week they announced on Sunday morning the addition of two more campuses coming up soon in Tulsa. In addition to the Park Plaza Church, Park Plaza is going to start two additional campuses. And Lynn can tell you more details about that. I'm not going to speak for them. But I will say this is a hotbed of CMU activity right here. And it's going to be cool. That's all I'll say. Strategic shift number three. CMU is going to move into almost exclusive equipping role to serve the average existing church. We are not going to send anybody else to a congregation where they're going to be alone and in a culture that's unfamiliar to them. If a church comes to us and says, we really want to start a campus ministry, we're going to say, you send us a guy and we'll train him. You send us a couple and we'll train him. You send us a team, we'll train him and send him back. But we're not going to send any of our people to you. And that's the way that's going to work. Now, I will say, if there is a really, really awesome congregation, like if there's another Park Plaza out there somewhere that has the resources and the passion and the health to serve as another epicenter, we would be very, very interested in investigating that possibility. We do have some excellent congregations in our fellowship that would be great as new epicenters. But those are few and far between and they're very rare. But that would be something we would be open to investigate. But that's not going to be 99% of the churches out there. That's going to be a very small percentage. The fourth strategic shift that we're going to make is we are going to emphasize from now on quality over quantity. Now, what I mean by that is we are not interested in rapid expansion at the cost of quality. We're not going to be interested in setting a goal like we're going to plant 10 in 10 years and then bust our butts to get it done at the cost of making sure that the people going out are equipped, that the teams are there for them, that the maturity is there. We're not going to do that. And that's just kind of where we're at. We want to make sure that every single person that goes out, it's going to be healthy for them, it's going to be healthy for the ministry. So that's kind of where we're at. I already mentioned the next slide, I think, showed epicenter number one and two, St. Louis Metro and Tulsa. This is the Crossings Church and Park Plaza. In the future, we would like to see additional epicenters. There's already some churches that have contacted us that would possibly be interested. So we'll see. I mean, who knows? God has brought us this far. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I know it's going to be cool. Okay, I'm just convinced it's going to be something awesome. I have faith in that. And so the last slide on there is where are we going? Future epicenters, future planters. Where are we going to go? Now, when I was sitting here talking about where would I be if my campus ministry hadn't been there, I saw a lot of teary eyes in here. I saw a lot of you tearing up, like, golly, where would I be? I know where I'd be. Nowhere good. And you want to know what drove every single person that has gone out to plant a ministry or be part of something so far, what has driven every single person? That feeling that you had inside when I was asking that question. Where would I be? Because you realize now it's not just about you, it's about them. And when the Spirit of God comes in you and starts transforming you and changing you and stirring you, you make all kinds of crazy decisions that you had never made before. I wanted to go to college and be a graphic artist. Live in New York. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you're like, Bellevue. Tell people about Jesus. Man, Jesus really screwed my life up. That's all I want to do. That's all that's on my mind. I want to move to Columbia. I want to go over to Broken Arrow. Help them fix their arrow. I don't know, man. Some of you guys in here, you're going to be on plant teams. You're going to be on church plants. You're gonna do things that you are just now like starting to maybe think about. And it's inspiring me to look out at your faces and know one of these days there's going to be a world that's going to turn upside down because of some of the people in this room. Some of the decisions that are made this weekend, some of the stirrings, and it's not just the Taco Bueno. That's what I think about every time they sing that song. There's a stirring deep. I ruined the whole lesson right there. I just want you guys to know that I love you, and it's a privilege to get up here and say this stuff to you, and it's a privilege to have been served by campus ministry like I have been. And that spirit inside of you, that gratefulness you feel, TC said it earlier in the church planning class. Somebody asked him, well, why do you feel called to campus ministry? And I think Jess may have said the same thing. People serve me, so I want to serve others. I just feel it inside. Like, I need to go out and serve others because people have served me so much. Guys, if you in here have been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, people have served you. And the Spirit of God inside you, for many of you, is calling you to go and serve others. Go and do likewise. Be it as a support person on a team, be it as a leader, be it as a financial supporter. We do need money, by the way. Lynn wanted me to make sure and throw that in there. We would love your money. You can spend it on Jesus. Tell people about him. Whatever God is calling you to do, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your mind. Do it with all your soul. And please keep the main thing, the main thing, guys. Love God. Love others. Love the lost. I'm looking forward to next year with you. Make it come. I'm going to pray for us, and I think we're going to sing. Oh, and Carrie, you need to... No, what's up? Oh, evaluations. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to do workshop about it. Actually, I'm going to pray for us. And then, if there's anybody on the C&D board that needs to clarify or correct or anything that I said that needs to be hashed out, we'll do that, and then we'll do workshop evaluation. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the next thing. Lord God, thank you so much for salvation. Thank you so much for saving us from the world, from ourselves, from our sins. Thank you so much for the hearts of the people in this room. It's going to be cool to see what happens in the next few years. Because I know some of the people that are going to be going out on these plants. There are people in here who are thinking right now, I would love to do this. I don't know what to do, though. They're in the right place because we're going to be here in connecting them with people that can help train them and give them the things that they need so that they can become the people they need to be so they can go and do the things you're calling them to do. And Father, I just pray that you continue stirring in our hearts. I pray for our ministries back home, that all of us will go home from this workshop fired up and ready to reach people and meet people. And God, for the ministers here, I just pray a special blessing on them. Because I know some of them are going back to really good situations, some of them not so much. And I just pray that your Spirit guide and God, just help them say the things they need to say, think the things they need to think, and do the things they need to do, and lean on the people they need to lean on. And I pray for wisdom for all of us. And ultimately, God, I just pray we glorify you with our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.